Good morning, everybody. It's 6 minutes after 9 a.m., March 19, 2008. With me today is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, Senator Dyson, Senator Thomas, Senator Elton. We have two bills on the agenda this morning. Senate Bill 256, Sex Offenders and Child Kidnappers, and then Senate Bill 285, State Intervention in School Districts. And then what we'll do is we're going to hear the bills, and then we're going to recess until 1 o'clock. We'll get back together here at 1 o'clock to take up the operating budget and go through a series of amendments, if any amendments come forward, which I think there is some. So with that, we're going to go to the first item on the agenda today, Senate Bill 265, Sex Offenders and Child Kidnappers. This is the first hearing on this bill. We've already done some work with the bill sponsor to address some of the issues such as cost. And the intent here is to adopt a CS from the sponsor and then take public testimony, and then we'll set the bill aside and bring it back at a later date. With that, Senator Hoffman, if I could get a motion for the CS of adoption of version K.
On 285?
Excuse me, 265.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 265 version K as our working document.
We have a motion to adopt version K as our working document. And I will go ahead and object for explanation if we could have the bill sponsor come forward. And if you can introduce yourself, Senator McGuire is the bill sponsor. She's on her way up here, so we're just going to start without her. But if you can go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, who you represent.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, For the record, my name is Trevor Fulton. I'm staff for Senator McGuire. And as you just noted, she should be on her way. Hopefully she'll be joining us momentarily. I'll go ahead and get us started. Give you a quick rundown, overview of the bill. Mr. Chairman. Would you prefer I explain the CS or start just by explaining the overall view of the bill?
You could go through the bill with the CS changes. And
yes,
then after you're done, then I'll remove the objection to this adoption.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. The state sex offender registry is a popular and effective tool that gives Alaskans the means to identify convicted sex offenders who may be living in their communities. The division of the permanent fund dividend is home to perhaps the most accurate and complete database in the state. What Senate Bill 265 does is combine the resources of these two agencies in order to get out-of-compliance sex offenders to register. Currently, there's somewhere between a 10 to 11% non-compliance rate with the sex offender registry, meaning those convicted sex offenders are they either have not registered or they haven't completed their annual or it's once every 3 months. There's two different categories. One type of sex offender has to register every year. Other type of sex offender has to register four times a year. Depends on their crime they were convicted of. Either way, there's 10 to 11% of those sex offenders who are not keeping their information current on the sex offender registry. And what Senate Bill 265 does is aim to bring those in by withholding their permanent fund dividend until they have updated their information on the sex offender registry. The committee substitute before you it adds section 2 through 8, and these new sections allow private sector process servers licensed by the Commissioner of Public Safety to submit their writs to the Division of Permanent Fund Dividend electronically. The writs are court orders to pay PFD checks to the applicant's debtor. The division processes over 35,000 of these writs annually, and each one must be submitted in person and processed manually. As you can imagine, that adds a fairly significant workload to the personnel at the PFD division. By adding the section 2 through 8 to the bill, we essentially alleviate a lot of that workload and expedite the whole process there. The law is currently written in such a way that only governmental agencies can use the electronic option. So there's already agencies in place that are doing this. We would just extend that to process servers, which are licensed by the Commissioner of Public Safety. Sections 2 through 8 of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 265 would allow private sector process servers to use the electronic option as well, resulting in a significant workload decrease for division personnel. And with that, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions about the committee substitute or any other parts of the bill.
Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Do we have any further objection? Seeing no objection to the adoption, version K is our working document before us. Do we have any questions of the bill's sponsor, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Fulton, you made a comment that it was combining two agency databases. I don't see it here in the bill. What agencies are those?
That would be the information that is given to the Permanent Fund Dividend Division, and then the Sex Offender Registry, which is part of the Department of Public Safety.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Elton.
Thank you. So the way I understand it from the fiscal notes that are in front of us now, we can discard the fiscal note for $205,000 and substitute the fiscal note for $60,000.
That's correct, Senator, through the chair.
That is correct. We've, with the CS, we've got the original fiscal note for $205,600 was adjusted down to $60,000. So that is what we like to see here at the committee, is fiscal notes heading in that direction. We have any other questions before we take public testimony and call in? Okay. We have nobody that wants to testify on the off-nets or at the LIOs, but we have one person that signed up in the room here, Peggy Brown. If you can identify yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Yes, good morning, Senate Finance Committee members. My name is Peggy Brown. I am the Executive Director for the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. And I briefly just wanted to testify on behalf of this bill. I think this is an excellent bill. As you all know, many of you have heard of rates of sexual assault, child sexual assault, and the numbers aren't going down. The network, which represents 19 member programs across the state, really likes this bill. We've toughened our laws on sex offenders. We've addressed some of the things that have happened with the sex offender registry. And this bill, I think, is an addition to the piece of the puzzle wherein we try to firm up compliance issues with sex offenders so that we can address multiple victimization, multiple victims, which, as you all know, is quite common with sex offenders. We also like the bill because it seems to be one that is very efficient and kind of works with the Sex Offender Registry and Public Safety and the Permanent Fund Division, such that I think that trade of information within the database is that marriage between addressing sex offenders and also providing efficient government. So we are definitely in support of the bill and would urge you to please pass it.
Thank you. Would like to note that we have another bill of the same title in the committee, and we're going to take a look at possibly rolling that bill into this bill. And we'll work on that as this bill is set aside to just make things a little bit more expedient. And also there is a second fiscal note for $38,000 from the Department of Public Safety. I neglected to mention earlier when we were speaking of the fiscal notes. And we have any current call-ins on this bill? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come forward out of the audience and speak to this issue before we set it aside? Do you have any closing comments from the bill sponsor?
No, Mr. Chairman, but I appreciate the time before the committee this morning.
Okay. We'll go ahead and set this bill aside and take it up at a later time. Go on to the next bill. The next bill, Senate Bill 285, State Intervention of Schools, School Districts. This is the second reading on this bill. The intent is to adopt the CS, take additional testimony, and then move the bill from committee if that is the will of the committee at the as we walk through the CS. And if we could have a motion by Senator Hoffman adopt CS version K.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 285 /K as our working document.
We have a motion to adopt a CS version K. Do we? And I will object for explanation.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I have a couple of amendments that I would like to talk about after we get through the process here. Would you like me to have them distributed to the members?
You could, if you wanted to, you could hand them to the committee aide here, and they can make some copies. We'll have a point in the agenda here shortly for amendments.
Thank you.
Okay. If we could have the bill's sponsor or his representative come forward, along with Eddie Jeans. We'll bring in the heavy guns for the backup from the school system. If you could go through the changes of the CS that chairs objected to for explanation, I'd appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Going through the changes of the CS, we've worked real hard since the last time we sat down with you to come up with this CS. We've worked individually with the members and that had concerns to gather up the amendments and put them together in the form of as clean of a CS as we could. Beginning with those changes on page 3, line 15 to 24, subsection A there, we wanted to create a bright line. The section A there will provide a notice provision that alerts the district of a deficiency and that the proposed changes to instructional practices. Subsection B would create a clear end date when the district demonstrates three consecutive years of at least 2% progress in proficiencies in math, reading, and writing. And then C would provide a process for the districts to petition the department to continue or discontinue their intervention. And then on page 5, lines 1 through 3, rather than the use of the general phrase directing personnel decisions, we've specified that the department will direct decisions with those in a supervisory capacity. So we're essentially targeting those that are not teachers. We're not talking about laying off or firing teachers. And then finally, with regard to the use of the word withholding funds, you'll note, say, for example, on line 6 there, we've changed the word withhold to redirect, and we've done that consistent throughout the bill. That's the summary of the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any questions on the changes? Okay, I'll go ahead and withdraw my objection to the changes or to the adoption of the CS. And seeing no further objections to the adoption of version K, we have adopted version K and it is our working document. Maybe what we could do is have the bill sponsor kind of give us a synopsis of the bill for the people at home that are watching this that didn't have the opportunity to watch it at the first hearing.
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, this bill is in response to the Moore versus Alaska case wherein the judges determined that where there are schools demonstrating a failure in proficiency in math, reading, and writing skills, that the state legislature is failing its constitutional mandate to provide a meaningful opportunity to receive that education. So this is an attempt to give the department further delegated authority to step in on behalf of the legislature and provide guidance, and I'd like to stress the word guidance, to those districts in meeting those educational goals. That is a general summary of the purpose and intent behind this bill.
Do we have any comments from Senator Hoffman or Senator Elton?
Just, you know, first I'd like to express appreciation to the bill sponsor. I mean, I think went out of their way to try and accommodate concerns that we had, and I'm not sure that everybody feels that, we ended up in a perfect place, but I think we ended up in a much better place, and I appreciate that. Wanted to just ask a quick question of Mr. Jeans, Mr. Chair, that about an issue that we talked about over the phone and thought it might be good to have it on the record. I had asked Mr. Jeans, between the two of us, if anything in this bill would allow the department a change in teacher's contract, and I think it's probably good for him to put his response to me on the record here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, and Senator Elton and I did have that conversation, and there is nothing in this bill that would allow the department to go in and actually change contract language dealing with teachers. And in fact, I think we went a little bit further in providing that clarification on page 5, lines 1 through 3, that the department intends to work with the people that have supervisory authority in the instructional practices within the school or the district.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any other questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Jeans, as we look at this bill here, one of the concerns has been the personnel that's going to be stepping into positions in the specific schools within the school district. I was wondering, are there adequate funding? Is there adequate funding for new personnel that need to be hired? We're talking things like student psychologists and those type of professional people that sometimes may be deemed necessary for this intervention?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, our intent is to redirect the instructional practices in the reading, writing, math, and as I mentioned before, that's requiring collaborative meetings with the teachers on a weekly basis, using the state's online formative assessments on a weekly basis, as well as, now I forget what the third one is. Leadership, thank you, Les. The training of the leadership within the school and within the district. The fiscal note attached with this bill would be to provide district coaches or school coaches, and was not intended to get down to the level of counselors or those types of personnel decisions.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just...
Senator Olson?
What are the plans for those people that may be deemed necessary and the recommendation of the coach to go ahead and hire additional personnel?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, we haven't gotten to that level in our interventions yet, but I would suspect that the department would work with the school superintendent and the school board in making those recommendations, and that's where the redirective funds would come into play.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too just wanted to indicate that I appreciate the greater specificity we have here and the concentration on what items really need to be looked at. I think that was very helpful in convincing me this was a good idea, and I realize you can't cover all situations, but I think this was a big step forward in getting to where we really were trying to get to. So I just appreciate it, not a question, but a comment. Thank you.
And this bill has been worked on outside of the formal committee process after the last hearing to try to smooth it out and improve it. Do we have any other questions before we get to Senator Dyson's amendments? Thanks, okay, seeing none. Thanks, Senator Dyson. You have two amendments.
Yes, thank you. I move amendment number one.
Okay, we got to just hold on a minute here and make sure we get amendment number one. Sorry. Keep flipping my pages and don't back up. Okay, so we have and I'll object to amendment number one for explanation. Senator Dyson?
Yeah, thank you. I too appreciate the sponsor bringing us forward. Certain people at this table have more experience in the rural areas in Alaska than I do, but I have a bit, and there's a need all over the state for school boards to be empowered. And even in our urban areas, school boards, in my opinion, often feel at the mercy of the administration and do not realize how much authority and responsibility they have. So the first part of this, the subparagraph 14, is make sure that make sure that the school board members have the training, they understand their responsibilities, and particularly that they understand the authority they have, and then that they have some access to resources. When I served on the Anchorage Assembly, my precursors had one of the amazing things that they did that was very valuable was to make sure that assembly members had access to independent legal and accounting resources so that we weren't just at the mercy of what the administration was telling us, and those were on contract and available. This, I hope this paragraph would make sure that school board members all over the state can call or and get legal and accounting assistance to help them do their jobs, and when they need to assert themselves. I think that's far more of a problem in rural areas where that kind of resource may not be available locally. Then subparagraph 15, or new paragraph 15, would make sure that parents know about the choices they have. Under No Child Left Behind, we are required to provide parental choice all over wherever there are schools, and this just makes sure that, or trying to make sure that parents understand the choices they have and how to access those choices. And my belief is that the best authority for a child's education is that child's parents. And if parents knew that the authority of their school board and the choices they have, I think that would have a very healthy effect on the schools. And so that's why I brought this forward. I delivered this to the bill's sponsor two or three days ago, and I don't know how the bill's sponsor, he has not been able to get back to me to tell me how they do it. This, in my view, does no harm and would significantly help, particularly the school boards, but hopefully the parents as well.
Okay. Do you have any other comments on the amendment number one?
Do we have a comment from the sponsor?
We'll have a, do you have any comments on it?
In consideration of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, first of all, I had a question. If technically, is this amendment in reference to version M or to version K?
Yeah, it was, if I may, version M, so the numbering may have to be changed.
So this would be a conceptual amendment?
Yes, and I think it would be line 28 on page 4 instead of line 18.
Thank you. To my knowledge, Mr. Chairman, or Senator Dyson, through the chair, I believe that AS 1412150 provides for regional resource centers, which the purpose of establishing those centers includes school board member training. I do not know at this time the extent of those resource centers' activity in the state, but I do know that such efforts are currently on the books. Furthermore, I believe that by including language such as this, it really broadens the scope of this bill. I think it was the intent of the department who drafted this bill to very narrowly focus this legislation on instructional practices in school districts. But I'm sure Mr. Jeans will speak more directly to that.
Do you have a comment, Mr. Jeans, before I go to Senator Hoffman?
Mr. Chairman, we did draft this bill very, very narrowly to address the issues that was raised in the Moore case. Also, the School Boards Association does provide training to the local school boards on an ongoing basis.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question was to Mr. Jeans and what his response was to the amendment. So it's been answered. Thank you.
Senator Olson, then Senator Huggins.
Mr. Jeans, I'm assuming then you're not in favor of the amendment?
Through the chair, we are not in favor of the amendment.
Okay. Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the first piece, I think it might be worthy of us from hearing from Mr. Rose on the training part of the school board.
Okay. Mr. Rose, there's a question.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I do appreciate the concern of the amendment, and I think that there's always this misunderstanding, and I would pass it on to most of you. How many of you understand the role, responsibility, and authority of a school board? I know that the average person on the street has no idea. And I think when people run for office, these are voluntary positions. They're elected. Many of them are not paid. They're voluntary. In many cases, they deal with statutes, regulations, negotiated agreements, budgetary constraints, and court decisions. It requires a lot of training to understand not only the authority, but the actual functioning role of a governing body. If I could just digress for a minute, if you take a look at a school board, it is the essence of democracy, where local people represent local people, where parents can come to their neighbors and friends who they've elected to represent them and ask them for clarification and ask them or advocate for particular issues. This is at the lowest possible level in terms of governance, the governance of our schools. I would have to say that the general population, not only in Alaska but across the nation, don't understand how our schools are governed. They don't understand how they're organized. They don't understand how they're financed. That's the responsibility of school boards. So I will just share with you that the mission of the Association of Alaska School Boards is to advocate for children and youth, first and foremost. Secondly, is to provide a quality education with a focus on student achievement through effective local governance. And that's it. Effective local governance focused on student achievement. I think the reason that this bill is before you is that Judge Gleason has decided that local control is the order of the day. The general law that you have provided is appropriate unless kids are not performing, unless school districts are not performing.
Mr. Rose, we're discussing the amendment.
I thought you asked me to talk about school boards. I'm sorry.
No,
I stand corrected.
The discussion's on the amendment.
So what would be the question, Mr. Chairman? I'm sorry.
Senator Huggins thought as the your role in the dealing with school boards that you may apparently he was interested in your opinion on this amendment.
My opinion on the amendment is I think that this is covered. It's part of what we do. Our responsibility is to train. If you go to statutes, you'll find that we are the representative organization for school boards, and that a large part of what we do is training. So we do provide these services.
Okay, thank you, Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, everything in the amendment, I quite frankly agree with. My assumption, though, is that it's important that we do this in a more omnibus manner so that we don't get into this piece and that the School Board Association's task is to make sure that the boards are trained and not just those that are having challenges that we're going to be interceding in. Is that accurate? This is a bigger task than just waiting until we're interceding in schools, I guess is my point.
Thank you. Through the chair, when I look at this amendment, what we currently do is we train all school boards. In particular, my conversations have been with this intervention issue, is that there is leadership and governance training that would be required, and we are more than willing to assist in that task. When school districts have been identified for intervention, the leadership component and the governance component, we are prepared to provide.
Senator Elton.
Thank you. First, a question. I think I understood Mr. Rose, you to say that you're already providing training for all school boards.
Correct.
Okay. The one concern that I have about the amendment is that some people could read, if in fact we adopt this amendment, some people could read that we're supplanting your role in training school boards, and we're supplanting it in a way that shifts the authority for that training to the bureaucracy, to the department. And that would concern me, that all of a sudden the department is supposed to provide that role and supplant the job, the work that you're doing. Is that a concern that you might have?
Through the chair, yes, it is a concern. I think it's a large part of our role and responsibility. We fulfill this mission. The mandated nature of this would pass, I believe, that responsibility and mandate onto the Department of Education. And I don't know that they are prepared to do that, but I know that we actually do it now, and I think we do a pretty good job.
Okay, thank you. Senator Dyson.
Well, I'm absolutely astonished at this. This says nothing about the department doing the training. It says only to assure that it's happening. And you happen to be a friend and somebody I really like, but somebody else sitting there, I could read it that you don't want anybody looking over your shoulder to see that you're doing the job, which I would think would be shameful, and I don't attach that to you. And you can go and talk to a lot of school board members, and I'm sure you're doing a pretty good job. But the proof is in the pudding. Do these folks really know the authority they have, and do they have the training and the backup to buck the administration who may not be doing an adequate job? I want parents, and most school board members are, I want parents in control of local education, and I want them to have the training and the tools they need. Just a week ago, I was talking to somebody who'd been around here a long time, who's probably clinically depressed, and he said, I see new leaders and new legislators get elected. He said, within 2 years, the bureaucracy always pulls them down. They lose their Reformation zeal, and I don't want that to happen to school board members. I think it does. School boards I've been around, some actively are seduced by the administration who wants to get them halter broke and pulled in the line, not asking the tough questions and not realizing that they have the authority and the responsibility to do that. All we're trying to do here is help to make sure that those guys get the education. I would be disappointed if the administration, looking over your shoulder, didn't say that you were doing a really good job. And that's what I expect will happen. I don't expect it will change, but we do have a responsibility. These are public dollars that we're responsible for. These parents need to have all the tools they can get. And don't lose sight of the fact that having access to independent accounting and legal counsel is very important. All a poor school board member has to do is hear, well, that's what the lawyers say, and it's the tendency for all of us is to fold our tent and steal it away, because who amongst us knows enough about the law, state or local codes, to buck some attorney in a three-piece suit there that the school board has or the administration has?
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Rose. Yeah. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure if it helps at all, but since this is a fairly general bill, other than some of the specificity it is required to address some of the initial problems we had, but on page 1, line 13, it does.
Wait, we're on the amendment?
Actually, it regards the amendment, but it is the first page of the bill where it does refer to provide advisory and consultative services to all public school governing bodies and personnel, and I'm assuming that that goes someplace else to some part of regulation or whatever that does at least indicate what some things what is available to school boards and should be available at least for them. So I don't know if that helps with kind of ferreting out an answer to the question or not. But
okay. Do we have any other comments on the amendment, Senator Huggins?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, I agree with Senator Dyson. My point is that I want all school boards to be armed with this and not just to focus on those that are potentially failing. I mean, I think the way we keep them from failing is to make sure that this sort of mechanism is in place. And I have no reason to think it's not, and the business of going to alternative school sites or processes I support, but I want that to go to all schools, not just failing schools.
And wrap up, Senator Dyson?
No. Line two of the amendment says, you're sure that all school board members, I mean, it's clear in the amendment, and it's a point well taken.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll maintain my objection. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Thomas?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Elton?
No.
Senator Huggins?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No. We'll go on to amendment number two. Senator Dyson?
Move amendment number two.
Okay, I'll object for discussion. Senator Dyson?
Yeah, this also should be a conceptual amendment in that it was made on the previous version before we saw the committee substitute. So a few years ago, after some really nasty events in some rural schools where parents were really upset with what they perceived the school was doing, this legislature passed a bill. It's called the School Disciplinary and Safety Program, and I won't read it to you, but it's 5 or 6 inches long. But what it requires is that every school go through some process with the parents there and give the parents an opportunity to decide and direct how they want school disciplinary and safety issues handled. And then the school is, after going through that process and agreeing with the parents on how it will be done, then that becomes a part of the school's disciplinary and safety standard, and then they were to report that annually. I was involved in it when it happened. There was enthusiastic support all over this, most of the people that called in, certainly from the villages that had had problems with how the school was handling their children. The result after 2 or 3 years is most of the school districts are ignoring it. A few of them are doing what we mariners would call gun decking it, or I think you accountants might call pencil whipping it. And there's very little evidence that the school districts are following the law and going through a process with their parents to figure out how they want the children discipline and safety problems handled. So what we're doing here is just asking that be periodically audited and make sure that parents know about it and get informed.
Okay, thank you, Senator Dyson. We're gonna, do you have an immediate question, Senator Elton, or do you want?
A question of the sponsor of the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we're gonna go to the bill sponsor and the Department of Ed here, but go ahead and then we'll.
Well, I guess a real quick question of the amendment sponsor is, when you look at the bill, and I'm looking at version K, I mean, we already have a section that requires, it's already in law, requires the reporting of information relating to school disciplinary and safety programs under AS 1433-120 and of incidents of disruptive or violent behavior. If we're already requiring the report by the school districts, I mean, I guess I don't understand the need for the amendment. If they're required to report, they're required to report. This seems to add an additional duty to the department that they have to audit in addition to the report that they should be getting from the districts.
Well, we'll hear from the bill sponsor, and then we'll on that, and then we'll go to the administration, Mr. Jeans. And Mr. Jeans, if you could reference, I think it's page 3, line 9, that Senator Elton, you're referring to?
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, Senator Elton's correct. There is the requirement for the reporting of the information to the department. Also, under the current statutes, 1433-120, the governing bodies of the school districts, in other words, the school boards, were required to adopt a written school disciplinary and safety program, which all districts have done and submitted to the Department of Education. Also, under that statute, it requires the same as item number 15, under B of that 1433-120, that they require that they report any disciplinary actions that they had to take under their program. So it seems to me that the requirements are already there, that they report that information to the department.
Okay, thank you. Bill sponsor, have any comments on the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We don't, again, we've drafted this bill pretty tightly. We don't feel, while we appreciate the purpose of the amendment, we don't feel it's entirely germane to the intent of the bill as regards intervening on school instructional practices. Furthermore, as a parent of a student in the Anchorage School District, I have noted with a kindergartner that was covered in the school's handbook. I do believe it is being done. And finally, I think that periodic review or audit of this report could be very appropriately done by legislative budget and audit. It would simply require a request by legislature to do so. We don't feel it's necessary to put this in statute.
Okay. Do we have any other comments by committee members? Okay, and I will get to you. And wrap up, Senator Dyson.
Yeah, once again, I'm incredulous. I'll bet you no one in this room, no parent you know, can tell you about the process their school went through recently to sit down and discuss what the parents have agreed with the school about the disciplinary and safety program. Mr. Jean, I hope you can tell me that somebody in the last 3 or 4 years in the department has regularly looked at all these reports that have come in and have notified the school districts that any of them were inadequate or that there's no record of them meeting with the parents to decide how they wanted their children to be taught. Can you point out anybody in the district that I can call that's done that analysis or in the administration?
I think what we'll do is we'll give the department an opportunity to come back with a question like that. I think it's an unfair question at the committee level to expect him to remember in that type of detail. And if Mr. Jeans, if you could have the department possibly look into that and respond back to the committee at a time of the department's convenience.
Mr. Chairman, we'd be happy to do that.
Thank you.
This all it does is call for an audit of what we've already decided was important and is in law, and to make sure that parents' rights are protected under the law that this body has passed.
Okay, I'll maintain my objection. Clerk, please call the roll.
Senator Olson.
No.
Senator Thomas.
No.
Senator Dyson.
Yes.
Senator Elton.
No.
Senator Huggins.
No.
Senator Stedman.
No.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Okay, with that, I think that's the last of the amendments.
Yes.
Senator Dyson, I was a little confused at the beginning. We had these two. I thought there might be more, but that's fine. Okay, we have one fiscal note from Department of Ed for $538,000. And if we could have Mr. Jeans kind of touch on that a little bit, if he would be so inclined.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You do have one fiscal note for $538,000. It would also add three positions to the Department of Education to coordinate the school and district interventions between the department's commissioner's office and the school districts. It also allows for $25,000 for travel, $215,000 for the department to hire district or school level improvement coaches, and then about $30,000 for supplies.
Okay, do we have any questions on that? We're going to take a brief at ease. Don't run off. Back on the record. Okay, we'll go to Eddie's. Now back on the record here.
It all fits.
Okay. If we could have Mr. Jeans just kind of relate this fiscal note to the operating budget. I think there's some interconnections here.
Mr. Chairman, there is in the department's operating budget, there was a request, I believe it was for $235,000 for school interventions. That was in the House budget. It is not in the Senate operating budget. So it's a conferenceable item. If you pass the fiscal note, then you could eliminate that through conference committee.
Okay, thank you. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, just so we're clear on the fiscal note that's got Eddie Jean's name on it, it says Senate Bill 295 requires the regulations to be drafted. I'm assuming it's 285.
285.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. James. I think we're going to ask. Now we're going to go to in the room on the sign-up sheet to Norman Eck, maybe? If you can come forward. You could introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and then speak to the bill, please.
For the record, I'm Dr. Norman Eck, Superintendent of Schools for Northwest Arctic Borough School District. I'm out of Kotzebue. We have 11 villages, 12 schools in our borough school district. It's an honor to be here. I really want to thank the committee and also the department and the bill sponsor for listening to the concerns that I had voiced in my letter. I appreciate that very much. I think what we have now is a vast improvement over what we had before. I believe in working in close partnership with the department, and I also support SB 285. I do believe that there are three things that I would recommend that we add to it that would help it even more to direct the process for the writing of the regs. And I'd like to offer them now, if I may, Mr. Chairman. On page 3 of the current bill, Section 1, 16C, where it says a process for districts to petition the department for continuing or discontinuing the department's intervention, I recommend the language be a process for districts to petition the department prior to the initiation, continuation, or discontinuation of a department intervention. So that way, initially, up front, as the department is going to intervene in a district, that district could go before the state board as a neutral third party and discuss things and also work things out if they're not going smoothly with that up front to help the district and to help the department. On page 5, 15, I'm suggesting a C, and this C would be, school improvement grants shall be made available to the district or school under intervention when the district or school improvement plan requires additional service to support student achievement. Additional funds may be used for curricular materials and or educational specialists, such as school psychologists, speech pathologists, community school liaisons, reading specialists, etc., as written in the district or the school improvement plan. Now, this would be something that would be mutually agreed to by the department because it would be in the plan that they would accept. And I'm suggesting that let's say there's five districts under intervention now, perhaps a $5 million fiscal note to support that for the statewide would do this. For example, in my district, I don't have a full-time school psychologist. I need one to work with certain of the aspects of our educational program. I do need some more speech pathology. I don't have sufficient funds to do these extra things to provide that infrastructure that's required to help these schools. I would like to make an analogy, just redirecting funds. I have several high-performing schools. If I redirect funds from them to the other schools, I may not be helping anybody. I have one other item. This would be an item D under Section 2 right after that. In districts where less than half the schools are the target of the intervention, the intervention should be focused on those schools, not the entire district. In my case, it was three schools that were audited, that were put under intervention. We need to do a strategic approach and bring those three schools up, as we are. But to do that, rather than affecting other high-performing schools, as I have several other schools that are very high-performing. Those are my suggestions. Again, I would ask that the committee adopt these. I want to thank the committee, though, for the good work that it has done and the care that it is giving to the children of the state of Alaska. This willingness on your part to look at this bill closely to make sure that it isn't a hammer to damage kids, but it is something that is really going to help everybody work together to do what's best for children. And I thank the committee and congratulate it for that good work. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. We have any closing comments from the bill sponsor? Seeing none, do we have any comments from the committee members? We have a motion, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for Senate Bill 285 /K and forward the three recommendations that were given by the last testifier for consideration to the first committee of referral in the other body, with and pass out with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations and the letter of intent.
Along with the three
areas of consideration from the last testifier. Do we have any objection to moving the bill from committee? Seeing no objection, we'll move the bill from committee. We are now going to stand at ease until 1 p.m. We'll reconvene here and take up the operating budget. We are in recess.
Senate Finance Committee will reconvene from this morning. This afternoon, we're going through the operating budget and the mental health budget. We're taking up amendments at this time. Today, we have joining us again Senator Stedman, Senator Olson, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas, and Senator Dyson. Senator Huggins is in another meeting at this time. With that, we are going to have presentations of the amendments and an explanation by either my staff, Mr. Drusendorf, or by the maker. We'll start off with statewide amendment number one. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move statewide amendment number one.
I'll object for explanation. Mr. Drusendorf?
For the record, my name is Tim Drusendorf, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. Statewide amendment number one is for the newly ratified supervisory unit agreement. They have ratified now, and there's additional language changes besides the numbers, and all the numbers are broken out in the explanation behind. And there's also some language changes. It amended section 25A, and it also amended section 9A.
This has been forwarded to us by the administration for inclusion in the operating budget. Is there further discussion on amendment number one? With that I'll remove my objection to amendment number one.
Mr. Chairman, I move statewide amendment.
Wait a minute. Is there any objection to amendment number one? Here, seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move statewide amendment number two.
And I'll object for explanation of amendment number two. Mr. Grusendorf.
Amendment number two, statewide number two, is the non-public employee salary and benefit that currently in HB 417 and SB 297. So as those bills pass, this will be the breakout of the funding. And again, it changes two sections in the language. A new subsection 25, section 25D, and a new subsection 9E. And the numbers and where and which departments the money is going to is in the backup behind.
Again, this amendment has been brought forward by the administration. I remove my objection at this time. Is there a further objection to amendment number two? Seeing none, amendment number two is adopted. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move statewide amendment number three.
And I'll object for explanation of amendment number three.
Statewide amendment number three is it funds the cost of the new Avtecta agreement that we had just received just the other day, and it also has language changes to section 25A and section 9A, and you'll see the letter from the Office of Management and Budget that explains the numbers and where the money is going.
With that explanation, I'll remove my objection to statewide amendment number three. Is there further objection to amendment number three? Seeing none, amendment number three is adopted. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move statewide amendment number four.
And I'll object for explanation. Mr. Grusendorf.
Statewide amendment number four. I might have to have David Teal come up and explain this one.
Mr. Teal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm David Teal, Director of Legislative Finance. This amendment was brought to our attention yesterday by the Commissioner of Administration. It's been redrafted by legal, but it does the same thing as their suggested language. This amendment makes some conforming changes because 125 was adopted, SB 125 dealing with retirement systems, and this removes the contingency language from that and some references to partial payment, because SB 125 sets rates at 12.56 for teachers and 22% for the PERS participants, participating employers, so that the language in the original version of the bill is less clear than this amendment now makes it.
With that explanation, I'll remove my objection to statewide amendment number 4. Is there a further objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment number, statewide amendment number 4 is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move administrative amendment number 1.
I'll object for explanation of administrative amendment number 1.
Amendment number, admin number 1 is adding $65,000 general funds and will be paid as a grant to the Partners for Progress that are working with therapeutic courts and support services. We've we had a lot of testimony on this from the public supporting this group, and it was brought to our attention, so we have moved this amendment forward for your consideration.
I'll remove my objection to amendment number 1. Is there a further objection to amendment number 1? Seeing none, amendment number 1, administration is adopted. Senator Stedman.
Yep.
You had a question, Senator Dyson.
No.
Thank you. I'd like to withdraw amendment number 2, admin number 2.
Okay.
And I'd like to ask that admin number 3 be shuffled to the bottom.
Okay. Admin number 3 will be shuffled to the bottom. DEC amendment number 1, Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move DCED amendment number 1.
And I'll object for explanation of amendment number 1 and DCCED.
All right, amendment number 1 for DCCED, or DCCED, is a fund source change for the Ocean Rangers, and it's a net zero change.
I'll remove my objection.
I got the wrong amendment there.
Mr. Grusendorf. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, David.
Mr. Teal, can you come forward, please?
This is the Wilkin amendment.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Wilkin amendment.
Mr. Chairman, David Teal, Legislative Finance. This amendment affects the distribution of funds received from the federal government for NPRA purposes. Most of those funds go out in the form of grants. This deals with the money that doesn't go out as grants. This language follows current statutes, which make sure that 25% of the total amount received goes to the permanent fund. And this is essentially a catch-up provision so that over the years, it'll make sure that 25% of the NPRA money received goes to the permanent fund. The alternatives for that money would be the school trust fund and the power cost equalization fund.
With that explanation, I'll remove my objection to DCCED number 1. Are there further objections? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted. DEED number 1, Senator Stedman.
I missed one there, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment DEED number 1, Head Start grants.
Mr. Grusendorf.
DEED number 1, the Department of Education and Early Development for Head Start grants. It's an increment of $407.1,000 We had some testimony on this, public testimony, and it adds one position. The other body had cut this from the governor's amount by $100,000, and this just restores the full amount.
And again, this was, there was a number of individuals during the public testimony that supported the Head Start grants. With that, I'll remove my objection. Are there objections to DED number one? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move DEC number one.
With that, Mr. Grusendorf?
DEC number one was the one I was referring to earlier, which is a net zero with the Ocean Rangers. Create and uses fund source codes to enable tracking of Ocean Ranger revenues and expenditures. And the source of these revenues is the $4 per berth fee imposed on all large commercial passenger vessels except state-operated vessels.
With that, I'll remove my objection to DEC number one. Are there further objections? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move fish and game number one.
And I'll object for explanation.
Fish and game number one is a follow-up on the subcommittee's removal of the $500,000, and we put it into language, and it's in the supplemental, and this just says that it's the intent language that if the Department of Fish and Game, if that money is not approved in the supplemental, that this sum of $500,000 will not be available for fish and game hatchery operation.
With that explanation, I'll remove my objection to the amendment. Is there further objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment number one, fish and game, is adopted. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move fish and game amendment number two.
And I'll object for explanation.
This is language that we needed to remove. Fish and game number two is we need to remove this language for the 7.2 lost federal funding on a one-time basis. We have included it into the base for everything except for two areas. So this was just not an accurate within the language section of the budget, so we removed it.
With that, I'll remove my objection to amendment number two. We'll take a brief at ease. Fish and game amendment number three. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, I move amendment number three.
And I'll object to the amendment.
Yeah, this is the issue that we've heard a lot of testimony about. It has to do with the shooting ranges and the withdrawal of the funds for the administration of those. And we heard lots of testimony here about how important it is, not only for the creating of young marksmen who have done very well in representing our state, but also for the public safety and gun safety in a state where firearms accidents and stuff are far more prevalent than they should be. And also we heard represented here that some $5+ million of federal funds will have to be replaced and returned if we don't continue to successfully operate these ranges. And I suspect, it's my view that we should.
And I will maintain my objection, although I think that this will not be the last word on the ranges. At this time, I feel that these are niceties and not necessities. But I will maintain my objection, and as I said, this will not be the last word on this appropriation before the session's ended.
And I would just add, if I may, that if indeed something doesn't happen to keep these operating, then we have, I think, a responsibility to appropriate the 5.6 or whatever it is we have to pay back to the federal government. And I'd like some assurance that if indeed this all goes in the ditch, and, these folks are liable for that 5.6 million, that we will follow up our decisions by making that appropriation.
And again, just a brief report on the public hearing process. There were 12 individuals that testified for the shooting ranges. There were four for the faith-based inclusion. There are eight for community health centers. Tourism at 32, domestic violence at 35, and Alaska Legal Service at 29. And as I said earlier, that this will probably not be the last word on this appropriation. Further discussion? Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, for the maker of the amendment, I was wondering if there's a comment about the three state shooting ranges. I was wondering where those shooting ranges were located.
Well, I believe they're Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I recall this issue came up a year ago when we were working through this very process, and even previous to that, with concerns on the equity interests around the state and how we, as supporters of shooting ranges and shooting sports, could have a better distribution of wealth of the state to help other areas outside of the three major population centers around the state, which appear to have coincidentally the shooting ranges. These shooting ranges, or the shooting ranges in other areas, are handled by sportsmen's groups, nonprofit groups, and I think as we go forward in this process and work on these, that we'll come up with a compromise where more people in the state can enjoy shooting sports safely at suitable shooting ranges. I think you'll see a collaborative effort amongst the elected officials to come up with a solution.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have spent a fair amount of time dealing with this particular issue, and I understand as we move forward there gets to be a better understanding of just how important and these are to hunter education as well as a variety of other things. So with that understanding, I appreciate your continued diligence in reviewing the particular project, or at least these funds, and just a short comment I wanted to make, not necessarily a question.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. And wrap up, Senator Dyson.
Yeah, and I appreciate wanting to have a distribution of the benefits. It's far easier to find a safe place to shoot in many rural communities than it is in the intensely urban ones. And the safety of backstops of the ranges and where the bullets are going to go, and the problems with informal ones, in at least in my community, are very significant. And so at some point we've got to give consideration to the number of people that are using them. And my experience is that most rural people are a whole lot safer with their firearms and wiser in the use of them than many urban people. And I'm all for more hunter safety, firearm safety, and safe shooting places all over the state. I don't want it to be at the detriment of these three that are very widely used and have an amazing record of participants. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. With that, roll call, please. And I still maintain my objection.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Thomas?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Elton?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
No. Motion fails. We have fish and game number four. I believe that is Senator Dyson's amendment. Is that correct?
Yes. Move amendment number, or fish and game number four.
And I'll object for explanation.
Certainly, and with your leave, I'd like to invite Senator Wagner to the table. I'm doing this on his behalf, and he's...
Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tom Wagner, Senator, District Q. I've offered this amendment. It's a fairly simple amendment, and the basic reason I offered it, it happens to deal with fish and game offices in my district. It's the language, to say the least, is vague. I think it's already probably served its purpose, and I think it should be removed from the budget. There's no definition of, there's discussion about two positions being moved to Anchorage. There's nothing that addresses the other positions, nothing that addresses the amount of money that's going to be required to pay off the lease that's currently under lease in Soldotna. There's no provisions to provide additional lease money over and above what's being paid now if these offices are moved to Anchorage, and I just think it's a very bad way to do business. So I would urge you to remove this language, of this intent language, from the budget.
Thank you, Senator Wagner. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't know much about this, because my understanding is that the reason that this deleted material was inserted was an unhappiness with some decisions that were made out of that office. And Cook Inlet fish allocations have been a huge issue for all the time I've lived in the region, which is 44 years now. And it is a, I was going to use a vulgar term, it is competing interests. And I don't know what this one addresses, whether it's the sport fishing, the charter fishing, or the commercial fishing, all of which I'm sympathetic to. But I'm afraid that this was inserted into the budget to punish somebody for making a decision that was unpopular with somebody else. And I think that's a poor basis. And then having these biologists close to where the fish stock is, and where the fishermen, both commercial and charter and recreation, operate, and where the fish are, and the hatcheries, seems to me to make the most sense. And I have not heard a cogent argument why we should move these people who make those decisions and supervise the studies to some office in the worst urban environment in Alaska.
Thank you, Senator Dyson. With that, are there any other discussions from committee members? 1 minute, Senator Wagner.
Just one short, addition, Mr. Chairman. It basically centers around decisions made at Board of Fish meeting, and that's where we should leave the decisions to be made, is at the Board of Fish, because that's the approach that the legislature has set up to handle those issues.
Thank you, Senator Wagner. I maintain my objection. Roll call, please.
Senator Thomas?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Elton?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Motion fails. Before us is Governor's Amendment Number 1. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move Governor's Amendment Number 1.
And I'll object for explanation. Mr. Grusendorf.
Governor's Amendment Number 1 is an increment of $200,000 to the Governor's Office for the new statewide energy policy coordinator, and it was brought forward by the Governor.
It was brought forward by the Governor. The only change in this appropriation is that the Governor wanted the energy czar to be in AEA, and this gives the appropriation to the Governor's Office. And with that, I remove my objection. Is there a further objection to Amendment Number 1, Governor's? Seeing none, Amendment Number 1, Governor's adopted. Hess Amendment 1A, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Hess Number 1A.
And I'll object for explanation.
Hess Number 1A is, there's 1A and 1B. 1A is in one-time increment of $500,000. This is part to the Boys and Girls Home of Alaska for services for severely emotionally disturbed youth. It's part of the Bring the Children Home that we were working on, and it's just one piece of that.
With that, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to S, Amendment Number 1A? Seeing none, amendment is adopted. Amendment Hess 1B. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Hess Number 1B.
And I'll object for explanation.
Hess 1B is a, we're deleting $500,000 from public health epidemiology to complete the Alaska stockpiling of antiviral drugs. We believe that the money is there and available to shift to fund what we funded in 1A.
And I'll remove my objection to Amendment 1B. Is there further objection to 1B? Seeing none, Amendment Number 1B is adopted. Hess Number 2, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Hess Number 2.
And I'll object for explanation.
Hess Number 2 is a $200,000 one-time increment, and it's a federally mandated program. And we had originally thought about putting this into the capital budget, and after reviewing it a little more, we decided that it properly fits into the operating budget. And instead of not having it get dropped, we decided to put it in this budget bill.
With that, I'll remove my objection to this federally mandated program. Is there further objections? Seeing none, Hess Number 2 is adopted. Hess Amendment Number 3, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Hess Number 3.
And I'll object for explanation.
Hess Number 3 is a $1 million general fund increment to the Health and Social Services Behavioral Health, and this is to partially fund the community health centers. They requested $13 million, and we, after lots of testimony from the public on this, in this area, we put $1 million forward to that.
With that,
community
I'll
health centers.
Remove my objection. Is there objection to Hess Number 3? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted. Hess Number 4, Senator Dyson.
Yeah, move Hess Number 4.
And I'll object to Hess Amendment Number 4.
Yeah, thank you. Across the nation, there have been a move to allow lots of community-based and organizations to provide human services and to not exclude the faith community of whatever stripe, and it's been remarkably successful. Some of the most efficient and effective deliveries of human services have been facilitated and empowered, and it's working well in our state and improving greatly. And mostly what the staff do is put human needs along with providers of needs and line them up with various funding sources, private grants, federal grants, and they're doing quite well. And some of the successful programs here have some remarkable tales of success of human beings dealing with their conditions responsibly when they're supported. I appreciate our efforts to reduce the budget, but here's one with a long lever and a bit of money on our part empowers a lot of organizations to do work that they are best equipped to do, and I would encourage support for this.
Mr. Grusendorf, there were federal funds available for this program that have not been disseminated or awarded.
Yes, through the chair, it was brought to our attention that although there was grant money, federal grant money made available, that the folks that were in charge of this money weren't able to get all the grants out. And in fact, there was close to $500,000 still in their possession that they weren't able to distribute. And we see that as, you know, so for that reason, we thought that we probably wouldn't fund.
With that, I'll maintain my objection. Senator Dyson, do you have a wrap-up?
Yeah, certainly. But those monies, as I understand it, were not for the people who are administering these grants. They were earmarked or directed for
people who need them. And I appreciate wanting to send a message to these folks to do better. You can sure send that message to me, and I suspect all of us could do better. But killing this thing that's doing well and improving is absolutely, in my view, the wrong way to treat a program that is doing well and learning to do better. So anyways, I encourage you to include this.
With that, I'll maintain my objection. Roll call, please.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Hoffman? Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Thomas?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Stitt?
No.
Motion fails. Amendment DNR number one.
Mr. Chairman, at ease, please.
Senator Dees. Come back to order. We have amendment DNR number one. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move DNR amendment number one.
And I'll object for explanation. Mr. Grusendorf.
DNR number one is a technical amendment, and all it does is delete language on page 61, line 2, and it deletes resource development allocation.
With that explanation, I'll remove my objection to DNR number one. Is there further objection? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted. There's DNR number two, Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move DNR number two.
And I'll object for explanation. Senator Stedman, Mr. Grusendorf.
DNR number two is a fund source change from general funds to vehicle rental tax. And this amendment simplifies tracking of the vehicle rental tax receipts by eliminating amounts used in DNR. The use of the VRT receipts in DNR parks and management brings total FY09 appropriations of VRT receipts to $8,018,600 and available balance of vehicle rental tax for FY09.
With that explanation, I'll remove my objection. Are there further objections? Seeing none, that amendment passes. DNR number three, Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move DNR number three.
And I'll object for explanation. Mr. Grusendorf.
DNR number three is in the Department of Natural Resources. This was in two places in the bill, so this is just a deletion in DNR for $1.3 million. Of general funds because it was brought to the governor's office.
And I'll remove my objection, Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate this, but I'd like for Karen to be invited up to at least to verify that it is a duplication.
Karen Rayfield.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Karen Rayfield with OMB. To Senator Dyson, yes, when they created the branch-wide oil and gas appropriation in the Office of the Governor, it was included in there, but they also had left it back in DNR's budget, so this cleans up that duplication.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Trust but verify. Further objection? Seeing none, DNR number 3 is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
DPS number 1, Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I move DPS number 1.
And I'll object for explanation of this amendment.
DPS number 1 is in the Department of Public Safety. It's an addition of 100,000 general funds to the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. This request adds back the 100,000 reduction in the Senate subcommittee and restores this to its FY08 base budget amount.
And appropriation was the most testified for of all the testifiers. With that, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to DPS number 1? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted. DPS number 2, Senator Stedman.
I think this is a Senator Dyson amendment.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I was just wondering if it might be wise for put all of my DPS Department of Public Safety ones together. That would be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And even as dull as I am, I can see which way the tide's running here.
Can we have a brief, ladies? Go ahead and allow Senator Dyson to combine amendments number 2 through 6, and is that your motion for the approval? And I'll object to the motion, and if you could please
thank you.
Your amendments.
I think I already spoken at this about the importance of our troopers. This is truly an elite force, maybe one of the best in the country, not unlike the Canadian Royal Mounted Police all over the, or at least the portions of the rural Alaska where I've traveled. These guys are desperately needed. I know several of them quite well, and being spread so thin and having often dangerous services and service to perform, and being alone and being way behind the power curve on wages, salary, and benefits, my view that we need to do all we can. I was gratified to see the administration come forward with wanting to fill all the vacant positions. Commissioner Monaghan has a good plan that I think should fill most of the vacancies. And when Senator Olson and I were out in Western Alaska, we certainly heard from all the VPSOs that they wanted more backup from the troopers. And so I'm wanting to take care of, in every way we can, Alaska's finest. And if I had my way, we would increase their services and they would be able to do more on white-collar crime and corruption stuff and on online crimes against children. But anyways, I commend this, what the administration has done, and my amendments, all they do is restore that.
And I'll maintain my objection. We are continuing to look at all of these appropriations, and hopefully we can have them addressed before it leaves the Senate. And I'm sure that I'm going to be hearing from Cousin Monaghan before the session ends on all of these appropriations. With that, I'll maintain my objection and call for roll call.
Senator Elton?
No.
Senator Huckabee? Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Thomas?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Bobby?
No. Motion fails. That brings us to DOT number one. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move DOT number one.
And I'll object for explanation.
DOT number one deletes 2.297 general funds and 1.950 Alaska Marine Highway funds. This amendment deletes the $4.2 million, thereby eliminating 12.6 weeks of service for the Kennecott during the Tustamina CIP layup.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to support this amendment for the removal of the funds, but will continue to advocate for the Marine Highway and work within the legislative process here to see what we can do to facilitate the transportation needs of the residents we have on Kodiak Island.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. With that, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to amendment number one, DOT?
I object.
You object? Okay. Would you like to speak your objection?
No.
Okay. All those, please roll call on the adoption of amendment number one, and the chair maintains his objection.
Yes.
Senator Thomas.
No.
Senator Dyson.
Yes.
Senator Elton.
No.
Senator Hockey.
No.
Senator Stedman.
No.
Would anybody like to change their vote?
Mr. Chairman, I'm getting that easier.
That is. Avoid that roll call vote. We are moving a little bit expeditiously here. Please.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to say, would like anybody like to change their vote?
The vote is voided. Please call the roll again.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Thomas.
Yes.
Senator Dyson.
Yes.
Senator Elton.
Yes.
Yes.
Senator
Hawk. Yes. I'm looking at the wrong tide book.
wrong number. Motion carries. Would anyone like to change their motion? Seeing none, motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move University number one.
And I'll object for explanation of University number one.
Mr. Chairman, University number one reflects the redistribution of previously allocated funds from the budget reduction addition appropriations into the appropriation structure as proposed by the Senate Finance Subcommittee for the university. This action involves the following groups, and they are listed. What we're doing here is we're allocating the unallocated group, and we needed more time to do the background work on this allocation, and we were unable to get it done by the time the chairman wanted the report of the university, so there was a delay. And I ask for your support.
With that objection, explanation, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to University number one? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted. That brings us to Hess number five.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I think we have University number two.
Yes, we do. Yes. University number two.
I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we adopt University Amendment number two.
And I'll object for explanation. It's a letter of intent.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, what this does is this, with the separation of the university funding into several appropriations, and just for the folks listening at home, the appropriations were split very, very similar to the way the university was handled a decade and a half ago. The legislature understands that some programs span throughout the system. The legislature would like to track the interaction of these groups and have an understanding of the problems that may be encountered due to the divided structure. So what this does, it gives the legislative budget and audit the opportunity to interface with the university and deal with any problems that this allocation may create between now and the time we reconvene next year to work on the budgets.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. With that explanation, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to that amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Court's amendment number one. Senator Elton.
Move amendment number one, Mr. Chair.
And I'll object to for explanation.
Just very briefly, Mr. Chair, this adds $25,000 in general funds. What it does is it allows some latitudes that the court system needs with the addition of the new Supreme Court Justice in Fairbanks. The court had initially asked for $119,000. This moves them up to $100,000, but does not authorize the one PFT that they had requested also.
With that explanation, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to court's amendment number one? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted. Hess amendment number five, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Hess amendment number five.
I'll object for explanation.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure I have that.
It was passed out late. It should be a separate sheet of paper in front of you, Senators.
Thank you.
All right. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this does is increases the assisted living reimbursement rate to 6% rather than the 5%, which was originally recommended by the department. It should be noted that there has not been a rate increase in this segment since 2002, and other similar assisted living program reimbursements have been increasing at a 6% rate annually. Such as those private hospitals, state-managed assisted living beds. So this helps that segment of the department to go ahead and keep up with what's going on there. And with that, I ask for your support.
With that, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to this amendment? Seeing none, that amendment is adopted. Brief eddies. We'll come back to order. I'd like the members to go back to Hess Amendment number three. There's a clarification on Amendment number three that needs to take place at this time. Senator Grusendorf, Mr. Grusendorf.
Back to Hess Amendment.
Your father was here, right?
Yeah. Back to Hess Amendment number three. It was for the community health centers. We had a mistake on the department and appropriation. So it goes to the health and social services. The appropriation is to public health, and the allocation is to community health grants. The number stays the same, but it's those where the appropriation goes that we're changing here.
So with that clarification, is there an objection to the clarification of that amendment? Seeing none, so ordered. We have amendment number three, Senator Dyke.
I want to withdraw number three.
Amendment number three. Thank you, Senator Dyson. Are there any other amendments to come before the body at this time? That to take another brief at ease. To order. The last motion regarding this piece of legislation, I move that we give legal services and ledge finance authority to make technical and conforming changes as they are preparing the bill for the floor for floor action. Is there objection to that motion? Seeing none, That motion is adopted. Final comments regarding the operation budget. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to thank you all for how we've conducted here, gone a long ways towards restoring trust and confidence, and people knowing that none of these arrangements or deals were made behind closed doors. For the open and spirited debate and honest debate here, and members faithfully serving the public good, I commend you.
We try to keep the process and did not come with a committee substitute and dealt with each amendment individually, except for the ones that you requested, so that there could be open debate on all of the amendments, so the public is aware what is incorporated into the operating budget. With that, Senator Stedman on House Bill 310.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we move Senate CS for House CS for House Bill 310 Finance from Committee with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes, and the adopted amendments.
Discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, that bill is adopted. Reef at ease. Back to order. The next bill up before us is House Bill 312. Mr. Grusendorf.
Senate Bill 312, there has been a change to that bill. It's the mental health bill, and as with custom, the House, when they dealt with this piece of legislation, they removed the first project and then passed the bill with the rest of them to us, and it is customary to, so this is the whole bill's conferenceable that the Senate has pulled everything out of the bill except for the first item that the House removed. So now the whole bill, as proposed, will be in conference committee.
With that explanation, Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we move Senate Bill CS for House Bill number 312 Finance from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there discussion on that motion? Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, so ordered. At this time, I'd like to thank all the staff and the members for all of their hard work on the operating budget, both operating budgets. I believe that we have a fair operating budget, but as I said earlier, there's still room for further action on the budget once it reaches the floor, and we'll be taking a close look at the actions that we've taken so far, and there may be additional action once it reaches the floor for consideration. Again, I would like to thank all of the staff and all of the chairmen for their hard work in working with me to bring the operating budget for full debate and consideration for the services that the people of Alaska are depending upon. With that, are there any final comments of members of the committee? Seeing none, we're adjourned.